here on the Daily Blip, sometimes information comes to us slow, sometimes it comes fast, but I don't know what to do with all this Destiny info, man. Today was crazy. In fact, the blips are going up later than usual because I wanted to make sure I had all my info right. Where to start with this thing? All right, let's start with the big bombshell. Destiny 2 for PC is coming to BlizzardsBattle.net, or rather the Blizzard Launcher. I don't know why everyone's still calling it the Battle.net Launcher. I have a feeling we may know now why they changed the name in the first place. But anyway, PC version is going to be exclusive to Blizzard's platform. Straight up. The first non-Blizzard developed title on the Blizzard Launcher. And you might say to yourself, well, that's weird. And I would say, well, it is Activision Blizzard. Activision publishes Destiny. They are sort of combined as a parent company. It's not that weird. But then you'd say, well, Scott, how come no Call of Duty up till now? Or how come nothing else from the Activision side? And I would say, I don't know. My guess is this is an attempt to test the waters, to see what's what, to see if it'll work. Maybe they'll expand from there. Some have suggested, and I'm not so sure this couldn't be done, but maybe Steam needs some legit, you know, competition outside of Uplay and Origin and that kind of stuff. And if that's the case, who better than Blizzard? They've got all the experience in the world for PC stuff. And, you know, Destiny 2 running there makes sense. They may not have anything to do with the back end of the servers, but still, there's a pedigree there. More importantly, if they wanted to, if this succeeds for them, and it's a big title, no doubt, but if this succeeds for them, there's no reason why you couldn't see them do more. And it doesn't have to be just Activision. They could straight up compete with Valve if they wanted. What is Steam? Steam is Valve 10 years ago, whom, you know, the makers of Half-Life and Portal saying, you know what? People said what? And they said, we should make a store. And in here, well, you can get anything you want. And at first, it'll kind of suck, but then it'll get better over time and everyone's going to love it. And that's really what Steam is. So we poo-pooed it pretty hard when it came out. Now we all love it, and I love it. I would have no problem with another competitor swinging in and trying something new. Why not Blizzard? They have the cred, you know? Maybe more than anyone else. Like, of all the names you can think of in PC gaming, who are you gonna pick? I feel like Blizzard's your best bet. They focus so much on PC. Only recently console stuff, you know, as far as focus goes. So, yeah, I don't think it's all that crazy. Honestly. Plus, it's going to have the voiceover stuff, which has been nothing but great for me. So the Battle.net stuff, Blizzard Launcher stuff, has built-in voice stuff that you can use. And I use it across all the Blizzard games when I play, especially Heroes of the Storm, Overwatch, and so on. And they work great. So that means maybe Destiny will be a little bit better in that regard as well. All right. The other thing to note is they mentioned Destiny 2 on PC might trail behind the console versions. It will support 4K, an uncapped frame rate when it comes to PC. That's the other thing. That will not be true on consoles. But it may come late. So I guess that's a good trade-off, maybe. You can have a resolution up to 3820 by 2160 with an uncapped rate. That's exactly what I run on my 4K TV, or 4K display, rather. And, yeah, so there's that. May not ship till September 8th, though. The previously announced date was for, let's see, I'm trying to find the original date. Can't find the original date. Ah, that's a bummer. I can't find the original dates. But point is, you may get Destiny a little bit later than you were hoping on PC, which is kind of a bummer. But bunch of new stuff coming to the game. And this is for all of you, consoles and PCs alike. Destiny 2 revamps the weapon system. There's new super abilities. They unveiled those today. They showed some trailers. All kinds of stuff. Instead of the first game's primary, secondary, and heavy weapons classes, they're going to change it up. It will channel its guns into kinetic energy and power weapon slots. So it's more about slots than class, which is interesting, right? Power weapons include fusion and sniper rifles, as well as a brand new and recently unveiled grenade launcher. There's another weapon type. It's the chain gun that was shown off today. And there's some screenshots of that as well. Anyway, there's new super abilities, including a sword-based move called a Dawn Blade. for the Warlock character class. The attack allows the player to leap into the air and pull out a sword that he could then slam down on his enemies below, as well as launch projectiles at foes further afield. Another super called Sentinel. This allows a Titan. So you still have classes, by the way. They're just going to have these different slots. Anyway, summoning a shield that can be, used to hit enemies at close range, they say, or thrown at a group of faraway enemies to bounce between them. Lastly, you got the Arc Rider Super. This allows you to summon a swingable staff, great big staff. It can also be slammed down onto enemies' heads. No one doesn't like doing that. Anyway, official clan support. That's pretty cool. Do you guys want that? Official clan support, gilded games. So guilds, I guess, whatever that means. Didn't they already have games with guilds, I mean? I thought the game already supported guilds. I've not played Destiny in a long time, so I'm going to sound real dumb about this part. But, anyway. Bunch of changes there. Did I mention the release date? Oh, yeah. The previously released release date was September 8th. Blah, blah. So I'm trying to find all the info here that it's late breaking. Okay. PS4. Okay, Destiny 2 headed PC. PS4. PS4 exclusive content. You're not getting that. Oh, see the PS... Okay, I know what they're doing with the dates here. This is where I got screwed up. PlayStation 4 version of the game is going to get exclusive content well into 2018 before everyone else gets it. That's what that's about. Anyway, way more open world. What else can I say about it? Additional planets. What else? Side quests. More of those. Public events. More RPG... MMO style stuff. Honestly, though, you get the feeling after watching all this stuff that maybe if you didn't like the first one, you're not going to care that much about this one. I mean, it is still kind of Destiny, right? One thing they are doing is competitive multiplayer is only going to be maxed out at 4v4, which is weird. So it's the Crucible thing, the multiplayer mode. You know what I'm talking about if you played the game. They've overhauled that. 4v4 is all. So some of those game types won't even be coming because of the player count. They say they were rebuilding the multiplayer sandbox to focus on smaller teams. So that's happening. What else? I think that's it. I think I've covered all the Destiny I can stand. Obviously, there's way more out there online right now. You can check all that stuff out. Get your head all filled up with what Destiny 2 might have to offer. Personally, I'm very much looking forward to the PC release, and I have to admit, this arrangement with Blizzard actually makes me more excited about Destiny 2 than I was previously. That surprised me. Probably surprised a lot of you as well. September, baby. Let's do it. In non-Destiny news, and literally very... It's as far away from Destiny as you can get, actually. Splatoon... Well, maybe not, because you still shoot stuff, right? Sort of. Sort of paint gun shooting. Anyway, Splatoon 2's single player mode was revealed. I didn't know this was happening. They call it hero mode. I guess the first game featured this somewhat, but they're doing more with it, I guess. Trailer looks like there's going to be some interesting stuff in there for single player fans. Which is interesting, right? Because I thought Splatoon was sort of posed or put out there to be sort of a... I don't know, like a Mario Kart experience. Nobody goes to Mario Kart and goes, oh, I cannot wait for the in-depth story they're going to tell with this edition of Mario Kart. I can't wait to find out the adventures of Luigi versus Dry Bones as they round the corner and further the narrative of Mario Kart. The epic saga continues, right? It's more about just hopping in and fighting stuff. And I know there's, you know, the 50cc, 100cc, 150, and... 200cc racing modes, but those aren't story modes. Those are just faster. There's a reverse mode too, I guess. But in this, you're going to get more than that. And it doesn't... The trailer doesn't look that close on the story. I mean, we don't know. I guess we have to wait until July to find out what all this means. Because they haven't released much. Or maybe we'll find out more at E3. At the treehouse. But there's a little cutscene. Shows the central figures of the thing. The return of Marie, the squid sister whose dramatic breakup with fellow idol Callie, I don't know if I'm saying this right, was fueled much of Splatoon 2's intrigue thus far. Apparently all that plays into the plot. I didn't play the first one, so all these names are foreign to me and I don't know. But I gotta say, a Nintendo-developed game with a little bit of single-player story mode is exciting to me. And it should be to you as well. Anyway, looking forward to that. Splatoon 2, probably more at E3. It's Treehouse time. You know, we may as well just stick around the Mario stuff here for a minute. I didn't know this, but Mario Kart 8 Deluxe apparently had an offensive hand gesture in it. Did you know this? I didn't know that. Anyway, one of the Inkling girls, like the Splatoon girls, has been tweaked to remove a gesture that was deemed offensive in a number of countries. The expression you maybe have seen before, it's where you take the clenched fist, you know, the one hand, and on the other arm you do the raised bicep and you put the hand down there in the, you know, the crux of the elbow pit, whatever that is there. I mean, when we were kids, we do this all the time. It's like, hey, way, you know, it's like an Italian thing, right? It's called the Italian salute. In some territories, including France, Spain, Italy, Portugal, and a good deal of Latin America, this is considered to be a very offensive thing to do. It would be on par with me and you flipping each other off in the States, I guess, or thumbing our nose and wherever that's bad. So they changed it. She doesn't do that anymore when she wins. She now drops her arm to her side and just puts up her fist like, yeah, like, woo! Just a simple fist pump. And I'm looking at a comparison shot that was posted on NeoGAF. It's kind of nice. I can slide back and forth and see the differences between the gestures. And one of them is just straight up fist in the air, and it's kind of funny. There are a few other minor changes, though, that came with this one. I'm loving this game, by the way, so that's why I'm talking about it. Starting positions in online races, invincibility periods after a spin out has been changed. I don't know how much. They didn't get crazy about it and describing it. I'll see what they've got here in the patch notes. But me facial expressions, opponents' names are displayed in the rearview mirror mode when you do that, so you can kind of see what's up online. The invincibility period, oh, here it is, after a spin out or crash is longer in online matches. Ooh, I guess that's good, so you can't get hurt for a while. Actually, that would help a lot. The gameplay I did the other day was real rough. Anyway, let's see. They've added worldwide and regional modes for mirror and 200cc matches. You can now properly create a friend lobby when you have 100 or more friends. Let's see. The Inkling girls animation got adjusted. We mentioned that. And driver Miis now properly show their facial expressions. Thank goodness. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was pretty freaked out by that. Also, tournament clock now properly reflects real world time. So whatever the actual time of the world is, you're going to see that instead of some fake cartoon time. Anyway, very popular. Top of the US, Australian, and UK charts. Hard to deny. Mario Kart, still a threat. And now, with a less threatening attitude by one of the Inkling girls. Enjoy. We'll see you tomorrow. Hello, everybody. Scott Johnson here. This is the Daily Blip, and every once in a while, I like to dive into what the games are doing on the charts. You know, it's fun to play them and all. It's fun to talk about what's new and review what we're playing and blah, blah, blah. But sometimes it's fun to just see who's leading the pack, who's ahead of the game, who you got to climb to the top of the ladder from and step over on and smush their fingers and poke them in the eye on the way up, right? So these are now the compiled top-selling games of April 2017. We don't have May yet because May is still happening. We'll have those next month. Here's your top 10 overall. You ready for this? No big shocker here. Well, I'll start at 10. That's funner, right? More fun is the word. Funner's not a word. Number 10, we have Call of Duty Black Ops 2, somehow. Number 9, Overwatch. Number 8, NBA 2K17. Number 7, Mass Effect Andromeda. Still in the top 10. 6, Grand Theft Auto 5. That game's like Dark Side of the Moon. It never leaves the charts. It's crazy. And I'm playing it right now. Ghost Recon Wildlands is number 5. Number 4, MLB The Show 17. So we've got some baseball going on there. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild at number 3. Number 2, Persona 5. And number 1, you probably already guessed, Mario Kart 8. It's a pretty good top 10. Now, I would like to also share with you top 10s for platforms. For the PlayStation 4, Overwatch at 10, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare at 9. Number 8, NBA 2K17. Number 7, Mass Effect Andromeda again. 6, Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 plus 2.5 Remix. 5, Grand Theft Auto 5. Sitting there right at 5. I love that. Horizon Zero Dawn, number 4. And we have for 3, Ghost Recon and MLB 17 at number 2. Number 1, MLB 17. MLB The Show 17. And then Persona 5, number 1. Not a big shock. On Xbox, you've got For Honor. These are in order from 10 to 1. Rainbow Six Siege, LEGO Worlds, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, NBA 2K17, Forza 3, Horizon 3, rather. Overwatch, Grand Theft Auto 5, again at number 3. That game came out like 2.5 years ago, folks. Just on these consoles. I'm not talking about even the later version of the PC version. No, it's even longer than that. It's like 2014, so like 4 years ago. That's nuts. Still number 3. Anyway, Mass Effect at number 2. Number 1, Ghost Recon Wildlands. Awful lot of Ubisoft games showing up there. And on the Switch, these are kind of boring because the top 3 are the ones that matter. Well, the top 2 anyway. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild hold the top 2 spots. Everything else is a bunch of weird stuff. But you do see Puyo Puyo Tetris, 1-2 Switch, Bomberman R, Skylanders, all that stuff's on there. Boring though, right? Anyway. So there you go. 2017 as far as top selling games of the year. This is interesting. Ghost Recon Wildlands, number 1. For Honor, number 2. Zelda, number 3. Horizon at 4, Mass Effect at 5, Resident Evil at 7, 6 rather, 7, Grand Theft Auto 5. What the crap is going on? Did he just print money? And they've got a new game coming out this year. I cannot freaking wait. As mentioned on the Boop Show this last weekend at frogpants.com/boop, and by the way, some of you are hearing this and going, hey, this is also on the Boop feed. That's true. At the end of every week, I put all of the daily blips on the Boop Show feed just as a little in-betweener show midweek, so you're not hearing me twice. That's literally what happens. Well, maybe you are hearing me twice. Anyway, Overwatch. A lot of stuff going on with that game, but something caught my eye this week. We talked about it a bit on the Boop Show, and that is that Overwatch animated shorts are coming back for what you might call Season 2. Jeff Kaplan, head of the team, says work is well underway. Goes on to say it's one of his favorite things they get to do. They love it. He says we plan to tell more of these stories. We're hard at work on those right now. The animated shorts are probably the thing that we have the most fun making. And we really love working with our animation group and digging out the stories not tied to any constraints of gameplay. They want to tell whatever stories they want to tell. He said this at a New York press event this week. There was other stuff going on there about the anniversary and so on. The previous shorts included one for Winston, Widowmaker, Tracer, Hanzo, Genji, Soldier 76. I don't know why in this list they didn't include the Bastion one. Huh. It should be in there. Bastion one's great. There's no timetable, though. They don't have time to tell us. They say we want to make all the good progress we can. We don't have dates right now. The director said that he would like to see Pharah and characters like Symmetra get more of a stage, more of a limelight. So you might see stories with them coming soon. I mean, for me, I want to see a bank heist movie, a little short film with Junkrat and Lizard Boy. Sorry, Roadhogs, what I meant to say. That'd be great, wouldn't it? I want to see them rob a bank or, you know, rip off something important. I want to see, I don't know, I want to see that little girl make the big robot deal. I want to see, I don't know, I can't think of anything. Mercy, can she get something, please? That'd be great. A little Mercy story wouldn't hurt. all the characters is what I'm saying. How about they all get a story? So look forward to that. I'm stoked. I hope some of that's this year, because that's some of my favorite stuff that's come out of that team for sure. So some have asked, why is Blizzard using the Battle.net name again? Do you remember they came out and made a big deal about it being renamed, rebranded, the Blizzard Launcher? And we all kind of went, yeah, all right, whatever. It's got a legacy quality to it, but we get it. We understand what you're trying to do. And then during this announcement for Destiny 2 coming to the Blizzard Launcher / Battle.net, they referred to it the entire time as Battle.net, Battle.net, including Mike Morhaime, who was on camera and called it Battle.net. Which is really weird. I mean, he didn't misspeak. This was a pre-taped portion of the scripted event. And some say he really meant it on purpose. So somebody got a hold, I think Polygon got a hold of Blizzard and got somebody to say, we made an exception to use the old name. Says it's still the Blizzard Launcher. We made this exception for this announcement. There's no, nobody was named in this. We don't know who it was. This appears to be true. Everything that you can find about Destiny 2's release refers to Battle.net, not the Blizzard Launcher, which is really interesting. There's on the official post, it says, being on Battle.net will allow Destiny 2 to plug into our existing global network, freeing up the developers at Bungie to focus their energy and resources on making the best and most fun game they possibly can. Destiny 2 coming to Battle.net. Battle.net. Anyway, it's really weird. I mean, their forums still use it over at Blizzard, so that's you know, that never left. They've had the name for 20-something plus years, 21, 22 years, something like that. And it's still one of the most recognizable services in the world. Maybe they're having second thoughts about it. Maybe too soon, maybe. Maybe this Destiny thing was late-breaking for them, and they went, oh, shoot, we should have not done this yet. I mean, we're just talking about a brand here. It's not that big a deal. But for a company that tries to sort of keep ultra control over such issues, it's a little surprising to see this getting bandied about in weird ways. Anyway, Destiny still coming to Battle.net / Blizzard Launcher / the Morhaime Experience. Can't wait, actually. I played Life of Strange. No. That would be incorrect. I played Life is Strange. All the parts of it. Found it to be enjoyable and weird. Anime, but not, kind of. The story was kind of effed up. Characters are pretty janky, but it was a good time. Didn't necessarily like all the hanging around the school parts and trying to dig through photos and stuff. It was all right, but it was basically a modern incarnation of a point-and-click adventure game. With a very nice engine and a, you know, pretty good-looking game, I would say. Anyway, if you didn't play the very popular episodic game Life is Strange that came out in 2015, then maybe you won't care about this. But for those of us who did, they are now confirming with the following statement, you're going to get a second Strange game, or Life is Strange game. He says this, or they say this, we can indeed confirm the original Life is Strange team are working on a brand new title in the Life is Strange game series. The team wrote in a post on Life is Strange Tumblr account. Can't get words out right today. What's up with that? Life is strange indeed. Says we can't wait to tell you about it when the time is right, but for now we are hard at work ensuring it is the very best game we can create. That's all the details you're going to get. However, like I keep saying, E3, right around the corner, probably going to get talked about. On a big stage, probably not. Maybe in an indie showcase or something. But you will definitely see it on the floor. And certainly people will have a chance to mess with it. I really, really liked it. Curious what you guys thought. It's kind of a Persona vibe to it sometimes. I don't know what to compare it to. It was hard to quantify that game. But I felt like it was the kind of game that if I was like in high school still, I would think it was the greatest thing I ever played. But because I am so far from high school, it just was a good romp, you know? It's a good time. I didn't quite get into the whole college culture stuff in there. It was fine. It all just came off as a little weird. Just a little weird. But cool. Anyway, life is strange. Guess what? Life is stranger. Thanks, everybody. Like the channel. Tell your friends. And spread the word. And check out this and other great stuff at frogpants.com. That'll do it. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Welcome one and all to the Daily Blip. I'm Scott Johnson, and Nintendo is trying to sell you an empty Splatoon 2 box. What? You can quite literally order a Splatoon 2 box, you know, the sequel to Splatoon, that has nothing in it. Like, empty. Straight up empty. So, this is in Japan. Pre-order in Japan. You can get the thing coming. It comes adorned with Splatoon 2 art, so it's covered in art like you'd think. You can get it for 540 yen. That's about $5 in American money. U.S. dollars, rather. It's the exact same box the bundle comes in, the package that will ship, but contains neither Splatoon 2 nor a Switch console that would supposedly be bundled together. They say the item is, quote, recommended for Splatoon fans who already have the Nintendo Switch. It's not currently listed for sale in the US, the UK, or Australian stores. So that seems a little weird. I'm going to put that one down as weird. In a separate listing, if you think that's strange, this is in the official Japanese store again. The company's also selling a boxed edition of the shooter that doesn't come with the game cartridge. So instead, you get a plastic box containing a paper download code. What are you guys doing over there in Japan, Nintendo? What's this about? Kind of wonky, weird, weirdo weirdness. What's going on over there? Anyway, Kotaku shows these. This is where I saw it. And they don't have any other games except for Splatoon 2 with this game card free version thing. Where you get a card or a box or an empty thing. This is it. The game's supposed to come out on July 21st, so just wait for that. What are you doing? I mean, maybe there's some weird thing in Japan where people are really into that or something. I'm not going to claim to know. But I think that's sort of annoying. And I think it's kind of a weird, janky thing to do. So just wait. July is here soon enough. Download it or buy it. Get it how you're going to get it. Taste the cartridge. Make sure it's still bitter. Everyone wins. This is your ground news, your ground zero news source for Far Cry 5 videos and news that came with them. Some videos came out and they reveal where it's set. So welcome to Hope County. We were talking before how we weren't sure about when it was set and all that stuff, but Ubisoft revealed Far Cry 5 will be set in Hope County, Montana. This came by way of teaser trailers posted on YouTube. The videos are short, focused on the environment. Reminds me a bit of how the GTA videos used to launch. Be like, you know, scenic stuff, less character stuff when they'd first tease them. Anyway, first see a river, but a few seconds in, there's a dead body. You can see floating in the river. In the second video, there's wind whisping across a field, and then you see a dude running like he's being shot at, and then he gets gunned down. Here, I'll play one for you. This will give you a taste. It's a PlayStation video. Here we go. Water, it's lovely. Beautiful Montana. Oh, there goes a body. Just floating by. Looks like a lady. And then things get real serious, right? How about this one? This is a mountain scene of some sort. All right, we got mountains, trees. This doesn't look like an engine. This looks like not a game engine. Okay, someone screamed and the birds flew off. And then you get a logo again. Hope County, Montana. Welcome. All right, well, anyway. It's going to be a worldwide reveal on Friday, May 26th, ahead of E3. And we'll be out this year. or early next year. Possibly, well, sometime in this fiscal year. So that means March 31st of next year is the furthest out it could be released unless they delay it. But that's it. We don't know anything else. No other details. I don't even think from these videos we know technically the time frame. This could be Old West still. I'm not buying... I mean, none of these videos say that it's not set in the 1800s. But they're pretty, and you should go look at them if you are so interested in such things. Far Cry 5. Barreling at us like a angry wolf. That, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means. So this Tom Holland kid in Spider-Man Homecoming, the new Spider-Man movie, he was also in Civil War. He seems cool, right? Fine, young, up-and-coming actor. Guess what? We're finally getting a Far Cry movie. An Uncharted movie, and he's going to be young Drake. He's going to trade in his Spider-Man tights for some khakis and a backpack, maybe. Some sort of rigged to climb the side of a mountain. Who knows? Anyways, 20 years old, this kid. I say kid because 20 is kind of a kid to me. Anyway, he'll play a young version of Nathan Drake, the series protagonist, as you may be familiar. They're also reporting, let's see, according to Deadline, the film will be a prequel, and it will focus entirely on Drake's youth. That includes how he met rogue treasure hunter Victor Sully Sullivan. And as you may recall in Drake's, let's see, what was that called? Drake's Deception, Uncharted 3? That had a whole sequence, or a number of sequences, of young Drake hanging out with Sully and learning the trade or whatever. Anyway, so that's interesting, right? He's going to be in it. They've also, I guess the writer got changed again. This movie, how long has an Uncharted movie been in the juggling match? Is that a way to say that? Sure, why not? But many names have been attached to this thing. For a while, Mark Wahlberg was going to produce and act in it. Then you had Seth Rogen doing some business with it. Then Nathan Fillion. That may have only ever been rumor, though, the Nathan Fillion thing. David O. Russell was attached to this at some point, which is nuts. And then Neil Berger. I could go for a Neil Berger. I'm actually very hungry. I shouldn't talk about burgers right now. But anyway, you're going to finally get it. Tom Holland. Drake's misfortune. Or maybe it'll be great. Maybe it'll be the best video game adaptation of all time. Look, we don't know until we get it. So quit prejudging, get off your high horse, and just settle in. I can tell you my kids are excited about this, but I don't know if you will be or not. The Professional Overwatch League has announced the amateur tournament. They're calling it Overwatch Contenders Season 0. And registration starts soon, right? When do we get a date on that? I don't know if there's a date. Huh. Well, anyway, this is pretty exciting news. The Overwatch City-based Esports League with permanent teams, you're familiar with that. That was announced in November at BlizzCon. I was there. And then since then, I guess a bunch of owners have been maneuvering for a little piece of the action. There's been some controversy with that. But brand new announcement today. Blizzard is looking for a way to prime the pump with a open invitational, basically, to Overwatch contenders. People who are not necessarily already considered pro players or in some sort of pro circuit, but people who think they could. It's like a development league, a AAA baseball, or AA. No, what would it be? What are you if you're the junior or the farm leagues? Like that. Winners could earn cash prizes and, of course, the attention of pro teams if they're wanting to fill out their roster with some new blood. Oh, here we go. Registration starts today. I didn't have that in my other notes. Registration begins today and the matches start on June 3rd, so we're getting close. My daughter is way into Overwatch and is flipping out. She thinks she can get in there. Maybe she can. I don't know. I'm not going to tell her no. She can give it a try. Season 0 of Overwatch Contenders will be an open sign-up online-only qualifier, according to their announcement. This will determine the top 8 teams in each of those 2 regions. Each of the tournaments will have a prize pool of $50,000 in U.S. money. Top six North American teams will be joined by teams Envy and Rogue, participants in South Korea's Overwatch Apex tournament. And that's cool. Blizzard says there's also more cash on the line. Organizations looking to fill out their rosters for the launch of their Overwatch League. All eyes will be watching this summer's competitive showcase. Going all in on this stuff, man. I think this is pretty smart. Especially the idea of having kind of a farm league for Overwatch. Do you have what it takes? Do you possess the skills? Can you step up to the plate? I'll just keep playing casual. Anyway, Overwatch. Contenders, line up, sack up, and let's do it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Check us out tomorrow for more. If you like the channel, do so. Like it. Tell your friends. And we compile the whole thing once a week on the Boop Show. It's a little bonus thing over there as well at frogpants.com/boop. You can send me emails at scott@frogpants.com. That will do it. We'll talk to you guys later. Welcome to the Daily Blip, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson, and man, news hit me kind of hard yesterday, and it was after I posted other episodes, so I didn't get a chance to talk about it, but Red Dead Redemption 2 got delayed. Whew, that's a bummer. That's a game I was looking forward to more than any other game this year. Best game of last generation. Red Dead 1, I mean. Anyway, this is what Take-Two said in their earnings report today as a follow-up to yesterday's news. The purpose of the delay for Red Dead Redemption 2 is to make sure we deliver the most extraordinary game we're capable of providing. Ooh, okay. I mean, look, I'd rather them, you know, make it amazing. And they're gonna. The problem is they release this stuff so late in the console cycles. Like, this is not coming to PC right away, if it is at all. We don't know. We think it probably will, because GTA 5 eventually did. Why not? They're making tons of money on that. So, which we'll talk about in a second. But I was really, really hopeful that Red Dead would be this year. So, it's moving from fall 2017 to spring 2018. And, again, they say it's because they want to make it right. It says, if we not run into any particular issues, we're building a new game from the ground up for the first time in for new generation consoles, and the pressure that we put on ourselves to deliver excellence and to delight customers is extraordinary. We want to make sure the production time is taken to do the very best job we can. And that's it. He says that's what people expect. There's some weird translation here, so some of these words are weird and it's flubbing me up. But anyway, also during the call, I said it's an understatement to say that Take-Two is highly confident in Red Dead Redemption 2's ability to appeal to a wide audience. I have a feeling this game is going to do gangbusters and nobody should worry about it. All right? But you're going to have to wait a little longer. It's okay, guys. We'll be okay. In other news, GTA has shipped 80 million units. Does that make it the most successful game of all time? Quite possibly. That's 5 million units up in just 3 months. What does that mean? It means the PC version especially is killing it, and they keep adding new content to the online mode, which is, of course, available on the consoles as well. 80 million units shipped worldwide. Good Lord, that's a lot of GTA. Anyway, hurry up, Red Dead. I'm sick of waiting. You guys, Overwatch Anniversary event is live. Let's take a minute and think about what that means. More skins, more sprays, more VO, more emotes, more Overwatch. That's right, the Anniversary event is now live on PC, Xbox One, and the PlayStation 4. And to celebrate the acclaimed multiplayer shooter's first birthday, Blizzard is giving players a chance to earn new items, and we're talking about 100 new cosmetic items through loot boxes. That includes skins, dance emotes, sprays, and more. As far as new content for the game itself, the update also features three arena maps. These were teased on May 18th and look to be inspired pretty heavily by Dorado, Eichenwald, and of course Temple of Anubis. If you've seen those, they're immediately recognizable. Anyway, they say these maps are built for intense action, 3v3 elimination matches. They're now in the arcade. So if you want to mess around with that, you are certainly able. The first map's called Necropolis. It's an impromptu field base. Castillo is an old fort. That one looks like Dorado. And then you got Black Forest, which looks like it's just outside of Eichenwald. Kind of where Bastion have his little story out there in the forest there? Wasn't that the deal? I think that was the case. Anyway, I'm looking at some of the skins. They're pretty awesome. I think Genji's weird Japanese skin. The beekeeper outfit for Mei. Those are possibly my favorite new ones. Some of these are pretty silly, but I kind of love them all. Anyway, whatever. Get it. Go. Check it out. Good times to be had by everybody involved, including you. PlayStation Network is doing all right. You know, remember when that was the poopy service and you wanted Xbox Live, but now that the PlayStation 4 is the dominant platform, PSN, it's kind of a thing, and you gotta have it. Well, they now have 70 million monthly active users. It's only 10 million less than copies of GTA 5 have been sold. Anyway, that's active users and PlayStation Plus, which is their, you know, get a free game every month kind of thing, has hit 26.4 million members. I'm one of those, I guess. I like what they do with that. They did a Sony corporate strategy meeting today. Some of this was public. They said that PS4 users collectively spent 600 million hours every week on the PlayStation 4. That's a lot of hours every week. Sony wants to further enhance the content and appeal of the PlayStation Plus service to make it more attractive and turn a growth in subscribers. He also says PlayStation Plus has 26.4 million paying members as of the end of last fiscal year. That's pretty good. I wonder what active means. And that also, by the way, covers PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and Vita. Anybody who uses all three of those, they're counting those as users. Although I'm guessing they're counting those as users even if they share the exact same person. Meaning the guy owns the Vita, owns the PlayStation 4, and maybe even fires up his PS3. And that account is active on all three, so take that for what you want. I mean, I don't really use my other two devices anymore. PlayStation 4 is pretty much it of the Sony family at the moment. But that's worth noting. Microsoft announced in April monthly active user figures for Xbox Live across Xbox One and PC reached 52 million. So that kind of gives you an idea of the difference between the two services currently. Anyway... This all was out of Japan. I guess Japan was going to do their own meeting, and we haven't heard anything from that yet. Anyway, not bad, yeah? Not bad at all. Sony says they are expecting PS4 sales to drop year over year, though. We're kind of at that point of diminishing returns. Had Red Dead shipped this year, I'll bet you would have seen an uptick. I mean, you guys, I really think that's the game that will turn all the heads. Ugh, I can't freaking wait. I wish it was on PC at launch, but what are you going to do? Probably get it twice. Anyway, there's that. Close things out today. I have a weird thing to report. I've gotten all back into Star Wars The Old Republic. What's going on over here? I don't know why I'm doing that. I don't know why I care. I mean, honestly, I got so sick of it before, but I thought, you know, I'll check in. It's gone free to play since, so I can, you know, there's no harm. I didn't want to go find old characters and figure out what I was doing with them, so I started over. Made a Jedi Knight Sentinel. The one class I never messed with, or class or subclass I never messed with when the game first launched. And that choice is right up front. I don't remember that being the case in the game before. I thought I had to be a Jedi Knight for a long time, like maybe level 10 or 20 or something, and then I could choose between Sentinel and Guardian or whatever the other one is. Can't remember the other one. Anyway, so that was kind of a nice little bonus. But three things hit me. The game is very mature, very stable, awesome, seems to be full of all the great story bits that I liked and all that. People speak very highly of it. Certainly the latest expansions have a lot of fervor behind them. I haven't seen that content yet, but all of that seems fine. Loads great, blah, 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 right? It's an older game, so, you know, you'd expect it to be okay at this point. But I did notice the thing that I hated about it originally is still there, and that is a major case of backtracking. Good Lord. It'll send you into a cave, you'll go to the very tip-top end of that cave, you'll kill the deal or pick up the thing, and then you'll run all the way back and all the way back to town. Other MMOs have done that a little better in recent years, and even World of Warcraft, as old as it is pretty good about making you not have to backtrack and, you know, kill the same enemies over and over that have spawned since you were there before. That's just a lot of backtracking. But I'm impressed. I'm impressed with how that game is all these years later. These few, I guess it hasn't been that long. What's it been? 2012? That's been a while then. 6 years? Yeah, it's all right. I think I'm going to dink around in there some more. Isn't that weird? It's weird. I mean, it shouldn't be weird. It's an active MMO with a successful user base. They're still making content for it because it makes money. So part of me is even tempted to pay for the subscription so I can just skip all the paywall stuff. But so far I haven't had to do anything. I just got my better running speed, hit level 10. It's cool. Star Wars, turns out, can still be fun. Thank you guys for listening. Tell your friends. See you tomorrow. Okay? All right.